Well, if you were here last Sunday, we began what will be a wee series in what's sometimes called the Upper Room Discourse, John 14 and 1. We're going to read the same passage that we read last week, only it's really the second half of it that we're going to be thinking about. So this is John chapter 14 and verse 1. Of course, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just on the eve of his arrest, crucifixion. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. And thanks be to God for his word.
Yeah, so we are going on with our series, The Upper Room Discourse. So we read John chapter 14, verse 1 to 14. We want to think about this passage today, under the theme, Greater Works and Guaranteed Prayers. Greater Works and Guaranteed Prayers. This passage offers us profound insights into the heart of Jesus Christ as he speaks to his disciples during a moment of deep anxiety and uncertainty. It is here in these words, in the words that we just read, that we find some of the most reassuring promises in Scripture. So maybe let's reimagine the scene again, the scene of the Upper Room Discourse. Jesus Christ is preparing his disciples for his imminent departure. So it's a moment filled with confusion and fear for the disciples. They have left everything to follow Jesus, And now he speaks of going away. And they are thinking, what will become of us? They are thinking, is this the end? Since he is quitting, since he is going away, are we fired? So in this chapter, Jesus Christ did not only address their fears, but also provided them and us with a roadmap for faith. He said, trust in the Father and trust also in me. He also gave them a vision for the future and a promise of his continued presence. So as we explore this chapter, let us also open our hearts to the peace and to the assurance and hope that Jesus offers. Let us also be reminded that in our own times of trouble, Jesus' words still apply to us when he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. When we are in our own troubles, the words are still applicable to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The words resonate just as powerfully today as they did over 2,000 years ago. Life in this world is full of trouble. Jesus Christ never promised us a life without trouble. He never promised to take away all our problems forever in this world. But there is a day when God is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no grief, no crying, no pain. And that day is called heaven. Until then, God uses the trouble in our lives to grow us. For God, our spiritual growth and development is more important than us having a life of comfort without growth. So in this passage, Jesus told the disciples that they could have untroubled hearts even in a troubled life. They could have untroubled hearts even in a troubled life. So he gave them assurances within a troubled life. He assured them about many rooms in our Father's house. He said, I am going to the cross so that you can have access to rooms in heaven. So your hearts should not be troubled. There are already many rooms in my Father's house. I am not going to build the rooms. They are already there. But I am going to prepare. Maybe we could think of him preparing the title deeds for us. He was like saying, I am going to the cross so that you can have access to the rooms. So your hearts should not be troubled. He gave them assurance about the way to the Father, when they would eventually follow him. Jesus said, "I am the only way to the Father. So because you know me, you will follow later through me. I am the way." So today we want to emphasize and think about verses 12 to 14, where Jesus Christ said to them, he gave them two promises there. He said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." So these are the verses that we want to think about. That is verse 12 on the screen. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do." Why? "Because I go to the Father." That is an important link that we should think of. What does it mean? Why is it important that he is going to the Father? It means you are saying, "I will enter the most holy place with my blood when I go to the Father. And my Father will be reconciled with his creation because of the propitiation that comes through my blood. And I will be exalted by the Father." That is, I will be given a name above every name. "Then I will send the Holy Spirit to continue with the works in you. And you will do greater works than this by the Holy Spirit." So that is why you are saying it is important that I go. You should be glad that I am going to the Father. You will do greater works because I am going to the Father. He promised his disciples that they will do works that reveal his glory. Greater works that reflect his exalted status. And he said, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ will carry on with his works in a greater way. This promise of doing greater works is not for the apostles alone, but to all believers. We shouldn't say, "Oh, this is for the pastors or veteran Christians or highly spiritual, mature Christians or maybe professional Christians." The text says, whoever believes in Jesus will do greater works. He will continue with what Jesus was doing during his earthly ministry, but now in a better way or in a greater way. Anyone who believes in Jesus Christ will continue with Christ's work. That is why James said, faith without Jesus' works is dead. Anyone who believes, faith works. Faith will enable us to continue to carry on with Jesus' works. And Christ said, because of the context of the new covenant, the works that you will be doing, the post-cross works that you will be doing will be greater than the works that I was doing in my body on earth. So he said, even greater works, because I am going to the Father. He was saying, I am ascending back to the Father where I was before. Remember, I am a prince, but I have been living as a pauper for your sake. But a joyful and glorious welcome awaits me. My welcome is going to be glorious because of the hardships I have faced during this time of my humiliation, because of the humiliating death. I am going to be welcomed in a special way. Jesus was saying to his disciples, my days of humiliation are coming to an end. I am going to be exalted. If you believe in me, then you share in both my sufferings and in my exaltation. You will do greater things because you will be connected to me in my exaltation. Further, we are going to see maybe in chapter 15 where he will be saying, without me, you can do nothing. So the greater works that he is talking about, it will be still him doing the greater works in the disciples, in his followers, because without him, we can do nothing. So all believers who carry on with the work that Jesus was doing, but Jesus said it will now be in a greater magnitude because the works will now be reflecting an exalted status of Jesus Christ with the full gospel in this post-cross age. All the other miracles, all the other works that he did before the cross, they were just pointing to something that was coming. Now, I think the disciples were also having the feelings that we have now. If we think about us doing greater works than what Jesus did, they felt like accepting that promise of doing greater things, they felt like they are bringing Christ down. It would seem like the promise makes the disciples greater than their master. Yet it is the master who will be continuing with his works at a greater magnitude through his church. So we find ourselves sometimes creating problems when we think about this promise. We create problems for ourselves immediately by thinking about Jesus' most amazing miracles. We will be asking ourselves, what does he mean when he says we will be doing greater works? Does it mean that we will be turning more water into wine than Jesus did? Will we be feeding more than 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Will we be walking longer distance on water? These are the questions that we might ask ourselves, maybe when we think about the greater works. But we know that, of course, we know that signs and wonders would follow the preaching of the gospel where necessary. But we should not only think of miracles here, because the scriptures tell us that miracles are gifts, the power to perform miracles is a gift that some Christians will have and not all believers. But here, Christ Jesus said, all believers will be doing the works that he was doing and even greater works. Greater works will be done by all believers, not just some who are more gifted. So Jesus was saying, when I return to my Father, I will unleash a ministry. When I go back to my Father, I will unleash a ministry unlike the world has ever known. And unlike you have ever witnessed, even during my own earthly ministry, there will be greater works associated with a new age, a new covenant in Jesus' blood, an age of the risen Christ. He was saying, I am not firing you. This is not the end, but I am promoting you. You are supposed to be glad because I want to do greater works through you. They will still be my works, but they will now be greater. And I will be doing the works through you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He was explaining that every work done before the cross, like I said, it was just a pointer to the better things coming. But now, all the post-cross works that the believers would do, all the evangelism, all the teaching, all the Christ-like service, the laying down of our own lives for Christ, would bear witness to Christ's exalted status, so there will be greater works now. When we think of greater works, when we think of this promise, we should remember the day of Pentecost. When we hear about greater works, 3,000 souls added in one day, including some priests believing. We should think about the rapid spread of the gospel from Judea to Samaria and then to the end of the earth. Sometimes the message being confirmed with miraculous signs and wonders. And the gospel continues today to penetrate the darkness, and it continues to spread to all nations, bringing people from all backgrounds to bow their knee to the risen Jesus Christ. So, folks, the church is not just an event on Sunday. The church is not just some other charitable organization. We are supposed to be a people who give visible testimony to the Lord, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, in the way we think, the way we speak, the way we do things, and even in the way we feel. In this passage, Jesus was not just promising us a bunch of miraculous signs. He was promising us an entirely new state of being that his exaltation would bring, and our works would make it evident. The works are greater. I will repeat that the works are greater because they reflect the majesty of his reign over our lives and his exaltation over the entire world. Our works should show the world that God entered our lives and snapped the power of sin through the cross. He smashed all idols. He disarmed rulers and authorities and now leads us daily to work so that all people will hear and learn of his exalted status. He promised him, so this is the, we were thinking about the promise of greater works, that, but the greater works are only possible because of the guaranteed prayer. So we find that in that part of the passage that we read, he said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And what does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? It means to ask according to the merits of Jesus Christ, not our own merits. We don't approach God on our own merits, but according to the merits of Jesus Christ. It also means according to Jesus' character and what he stands for. So in carrying on his work, we depend upon Jesus' ability to give us whatever we need. In carrying on his work, we depend upon him. Greater works come due to our reliance on Jesus through prayer. He said we should ask for anything in his name and he will do it. Which means asking prayer should precede doing greater works. By saying we will get anything that we ask in his name, we are not supporting a name it and claim it kind of theology that we now find, especially in Africa, where the pastors would just say, name it and claim it. Sometimes they would say, if you like a particular kind of car, you just take maybe a towel and rub the car in at a car sale and you get it. By saying, ask anything in my name, I will do it, that is not a name it and claim it kind of theology. Asking in his name is not a magical formula employed to get what we want in order to fulfill our selfish ambitions. Rather, when he was telling his disciples, they understood what he was saying. Because when he said, you ask in my name, he was telling them the kind of requests and how they should be made. During that time, a person's name was bound up with their character, with the person's character and what they stood for. So if you would tell me to go and ask for something in the name of Bruce, I should know what to ask because I know the character and nature of Bruce. I will not go and ask for cigarettes. Say, can you give me some cigarettes? I know you, that's not the nature of Bruce. So when he said, you ask in my name, the disciples actually knew the range of things that they were supposed to go and ask Jesus because they knew his character, they knew what he stood for. Because during that time, a person's name was bound with their character and with what they stood for. To ask in Jesus' name is to ask in ways that agree with Jesus' person. So what is it about Jesus' character that determines what we should ask for? We find that Jesus didn't seek riches, but he left riches in heaven to become poor for the sake of others. So it's not in his nature to provide for our selfish, materialistic desires. He will give us what we need for doing the greater works. That is in his nature. He will provide us resources that allow us to do the greater works, to continue to carry on with his works. What does he stand for? What are his teachings? We should ask him, when we ask in his name, we should ask for the things that agree, that are in agreement with his teachings. Jesus did not say, we should live our best lives now. But he said, anyone who wants to follow him should hate their life in this world in order to save it. He said, if you want to follow me, forget yourself. So whatever we ask, it should be according to his teachings. Asking in his name is what John later on wrote in his letter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He said, and we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So Jesus Christ answers prayer not with the goal of making us look glorious, but with the goal of making his Father glorious. Not with the goal of fulfilling our oftentimes self-centered plans, but with the goal of fulfilling the Father's plans. So prayer is God's ordained means to access the exalted Christ so that we might gain whatever we need to accomplish the greater works of advancing Jesus Christ's kingdom. So if we are, but then if we are not asking, the condition is that to get what is necessary to do the greater works or to continue with Jesus' works, we should ask. He said, if you ask for anything, there is a condition of asking also. If we are not asking, Jesus is not bound to give us anything. His promise to give us our needs is conditional on our asking. So James wrote in James 4, verse 2, he said, you do not have because you do not ask. Asking is necessary to the life of a believer. So there is no such thing as a prayerless Christian. We should ask him because he has the capacity to give anything for the greater works. There is no limitation to what he can do. So we should ask so that we can be able to do greater works. So our thoughts today, we were thinking about the greater works, continuing with Christ's work in a more wonderful way because of the new covenant that we are operating under now, the covenant of his blood. And we find that even when he was departing, when he ascended, he gave the church the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is a call to greater works. He said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poisons, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and the sick people, and they will get well. Don't ask me about snakes and poisons. I also don't know how that happens. But I believe that he was telling the truth when he said, when he gave that promise. They will place their hands on the sick people and they will get well. We were doing that in Africa, in Zimbabwe, lay hands on the sick, and they were getting well, not because of our power, but because of his power. So as we conclude, let us step out as a church. We should step out of our comfort zones by faith, because fear and doubt causes inactivity. We will not carry on the works of Jesus Christ if we have fear and doubts. So we should step out of our comfort zones, because preaching the gospel does not take place in our comfort zones. But it requires that we step out by faith and know our responsibility that Jesus Christ ascended and he gave us the work to do. He promoted us. He shared with us his divine nature by pouring upon us his Holy Spirit so that we can carry on with his work. We want to thank God for the work of the church that is continuing globally, and greater works are still going on everywhere. So we should remember our responsibility and let us step out of our comfort zones by faith and continue with the work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again tonight. We thank you for empowering us. We want to give you all the glory that you shared with us your divine nature. You give us everything that is required for this life and for worshiping you. May you continue to empower us so that we can accept the promises that and assurances that you have given unto us as your church. Make us effective in this world. Make us effective witnesses so that we continue doing greater works because of your blood, because you entered the most holy place with your blood, because we are now witnesses of your exalted status. We thank you, Father, for this story, for this passage. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us. Continue to teach us like you taught your disciples in the upper room. Continue to teach us as a church today so that we may be edified and grow in our faith. Help us to stop our hearts from being troubled. Give us the peace that passes all understanding. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.